It's time for another episode of Leadership of the Leaf, now in their third season. More leadership topics to discuss and more cigar knowledge to share with great pairings. Grab a cigar, give it a cut and light, and put some smoke in the air with your host, Dice and Austin.
And welcome to another episode of Leadership of the Leaf. My name's Austin.
And I'm Dice.
And Dice, what are we, because I believe we're smoking the same cigar, right? So what are we smoking?
We are smoking. It's a classic. It's like
everyone. Is it a classic?
Yeah, I think so, because I think even, I'll call it the grandma test, right? Even my grandmother would know what a Monte Cristo cigar is.
You think so?
An average person would have heard of the name Monte Cristo, and they'd be like, oh, that's a cigar.
Yeah.
Or a ham and cheese grilled sandwich. But most people, you know, call it a cigar.
Listen, we're not French here, okay? Let's fucking... let's go about this right.
You're the one that kept saying we like eight times.
We.
So it's a Monte Cristo Platinum Series. It's a Toro in size. Ring gauge is 50.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect.
So, just touching mine up, sir.
That's fine. I mean, while you touch it up with your fancy lighter
Are you going to tell us what Hennessy you're drinking?
I will gladly tell you what Hennessy I'm drinking.
Yeah, tell me.
You ready for this, motherfucker? I am drinking a Happy Dad Hard Seltzer, Death Row Records. Anybody that knows me knows I love Death Row Records. Anyway, Death Row Records, limited edition. And yes, go ahead and let all your little jokes fly. The flavor is great. What you got to say about that?
They got a watermelon one too?
they do.
Oh shit. Next you're gonna be telling me they got fried chicken too.
No, see, not that's racist.
Is it?
No, they don't have a fried chicken, but yes, so I'm drinking a hard seltzer.
Hard seltzer. So you're like a White Claw drinking bitch. Because aren't those hard seltzers? Truly, right? They're truly hard seltzer.
I believe mine is gangster. Death Row Records.
Can it be gangster if it's a hard seltzer, though?
Yeah, yes. It absolutely can be gangster.
I feel like we need Al Pacino. Like, Al Pacino, come weigh in on that. Robert De Niro. Can I get your opinion, sir? Would this be gangster?
Why are you picking them? Why can't you pick someone like Snoop or Dr. Dre or maybe Suge Knight?
You know what? Fairness, there's different type of gangsters. I was going for the very old school Scarface-esque, because I know Robert De Niro, right?
Godfather, but, yeah.
Yeah, Godfather, yeah. I was going for that type, because we're smoking cigars. I was going for, like, Italian mafia gangsters.
Wait. So you, cigars and Suge Knight? Come on.
No, they do. I'm not arguing. I'm just saying one preceded the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that fair? Is that fair to say?
That is a very fair statement, but I'm going to just say Happy Dad, Hard Seltzer, Death Row, great flavor, gangster. Fight me.
It's a gangster, though. Great.
Gangster. Delicious.
Great. Got it.
Yeah. So.
You want a Swisher Sweet, too?
Hey, gangster over there, Mr. Fuckboy. What are you drinking?
Yes, sir. Oh, me? I'm drinking whiskey. A nice Glenfiddich 12-year Scotch whiskey.
Scotch whiskey. Here you go with that shit again.
Delicious. And what a real man would drink. Just saying. Alright, so before we get too off into the deep end... with Dice's fruity drink.
All right,
I say it's because great flavor, okay?
It's great. It is fruity. It's a great fruity drink. Yes. Yeah. All
right. Thank you.
Yeah.
What is our cigar topic?
I gotta hate you. We're going to talk about...
You know, I feel like that's false to anybody who met us.
We're going to talk about cutters. We're going to talk about some of our favorite cutting techniques, different cutters that are out there, just some of the stupid shit that we've heard before, just cutters.
So cutters. So let's start with the straight, just classic cut, right? Like the guillotine straight cut cutters.
I get that we're talking about guillotine.
Guillotine.
Oh, cutters. What? But when I think of guillotine, how you say it? Guillotine? Whatever. When I think of that cutter, I think of like when the chopping off the head, right? The whole straight bar coming down. So that's a single blade that's coming down into pretty much a knot blade.
Okay.
Like some sort of bumper, holder, stopping point. So it's just pretty much literally like you're off of his head type cutter.
Okay.
That's true, right? You fair? Mm-hmm. So yeah. When I think of a straight cut, I think of like where it's two blades converging together to almost like scissor into a straight like cut.
So my question then.
Okay.
So I have this nice solid Calibri cutter.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
The one that you're envious of.
Yes. Yes. I really like it.
Yeah. So I have one blade moving up and down.
Yeah.
Right? There's a straight edge cutter on the bottom that doesn't move. Would you consider this a guillotine cut or a straight cut?
I would consider a
guillotine.
Guillotine.
Got it.
I would consider that guillotine.
South Carolina education, everyone. South Carolina education.
I would consider that a guillotine cut because both blades aren't moving; just that one is moving.
Right.
So when
versus
I think
my other Calibri cutter, which is the teardrop shape.
Yeah.
That both blades extend out like a butterfly, and then they both come in together.
Correctamundo. I would consider that more of a straight cut. When you were talking about your teardrop cutter, how the blades come together, I consider that they're both considered straight cuts. By all means, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they're two different styles of straight cuts. One is more like a scissor and one is more like a guillotine cut. But I mean, I just segregate those two, even though they do the same thing.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm with it. I like it. So,
but I mean, I'm probably receive hate. They're the same goddamn thing. Okay, but they function slightly different to perform the same task.
Facts. It's like I can use a wrench or a
pliers.
Ratchet.
Yeah.
I use a wrench or a ratchet. It's the same thing. I'm still turning the fucking bolt, right?
You're removing hardware.
Right. One is more manual than the other. The same fucking task is getting accomplished, but two different tools.
There is a slight problem when it comes to these like straight cuts. I noticed with newer type or even some old heads. Like if you give me enough Hennessy, I'm gonna run into a little problem every now and again. Some of the straight cuts have like a little resting point, so you don't push the cigar all the way through.
Fact.
Why do they have that resting point, Mr. Austin?
Oh, well, you know, that's because there's this thing called a cap on a cigar.
What?
And if you look at the part that you stick in your puffer, aka your mouth, there's a cap of tobacco that keeps the rolled tobacco together. And if you are using a straight cut without a bumper, you can push that through and cut the entire cap off. And then what ends up happening is your cigar unravels and you bitch about the entire cigar to everybody and we all tell you you're stupid.
Did you look at the cap of your Monte Cristo?
I did. That's pretty far down there, actually.
That's a big cap. Yeah.
But so my straight cutter has a stop in it. It has a bumper because it's a double. Like, so for everyone who knows, who may or may not know, there's pictures on Instagram. I have a double cutter. One side is a deep V cut, and the other side is a straight guillotine type cut. So the deep V cut bumper acts as a stop for my V cut.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So I can't cut the cap too far because there's already a stop in there because the deep D cut bumper stop on the other side.
Huh. I like that. I like that.
Yeah. It's nice, right? It's that solid. Is,
that's a nice double cutter.
And it's a beautiful color. Goes well with my lighter.
Oh, that's a great combo. They look nice.
Yeah, I like it.
So, deep V. You was just talking about a deep V. What's the difference?
I was.
What would you say the difference is between a deep V and a wedge?
One is deeper than the other, obviously. So deep V is a little bit more pointed, right? It's going to get a little bit deeper into that cap, which can cause issues if you just go straight, boom, stop, cap, boom, and you cut, and your cap is a shallow cap. You can end up basically cutting, and I've done it before because I wouldn't pay attention. You end up cutting your cap off and splitting it in two. And then, again, your scar unravels and we all laugh at you.
Yeah. I try to use the deep D-cut when I have a more profound ring gauge.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because I'm a horrible person when it comes to that. I tend to ruin a cigar if it doesn't have a larger ring gauge for a deep D-cut because I end up, a lot of times I end up cracking the opposite side.
Yeah.
I guess I go too hard in the paint, son.
I mean, that, I guess if you want to say that, I'll let you have it.
How would you say? What would you say?
You don't pay enough attention and your cigars aren't properly humidified, so you fuck your shit up.
Yeah, it's definitely not that one. It's definitely more of the, I go hard in the paint.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to the wedge cut where it doesn't go as deep as a regular deep V, where you've pretty much taken like almost like a slice of pie out of the end of your cigar.
Yeah.
Some people prefer however they want to cut it. Some people prefer the deep V cut because of the airflow that it's going to provide over a straight cut.
Yeah, so there's also the airflow aspect, like, and the mouthfeel.
Yeah.
You know, some people like the way that the punch draws airflow in, which we'll talk about. Some people like, oh, I just like a straight cut and I don't like this wedge that's sitting in my mouth. Some people like the deep V cut. I personally, I love the deep V cut.
Yeah, it's one of your favorites.
90% of my cigars are deep V cut. I find that I get the best flavor. I get the best mixing of the tobacco flavors. I get the best cooling through there. It feels the best in my mouth for whatever reason. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. It just does. It's the cut that I tend to prefer. I don't mind a straight cut. I don't mind a punch, but if given the choice, I'm 90% of the time just going to go deep V cut, boom.
Yeah, I use different cuts for different cigars. Even when we was first cutting this one, lighting this one up.
Yeah.
If you recall, I did do a punch, but when I did the punch, my airflow just was not there. The punch didn't go deep enough to break the surface, but I also didn't realize how big the cap was on this one.
Yeah.
Monte Cristo. So I quickly just switched it to the deep V, and now it's smoking actually really well.
Right, and I straight cut mine from the get-go and had no problem on the cold draw, right? Because anytime you cut a cigar, you need to cold draw to make sure you have good fucking airflow before you start trying to smoke it.
Now, you say you prefer the deep V. I myself, I'm more of a punch guy. I'm a majority of the time, I won't say 90, I would say about 50% of the time, I'm gonna try the punch first.
Right.
Because you can always go back and repair a punch easier than you could the deep V cut. Because the deep V cut, if you don't quite get it right on the deep V cut, you can go for that classic, people call it different things, that crown cut, the rook cut, the I don't know.
Where you basically turn another deep V 90 degrees or perpendicular to your first cut, and you cut it again so it looks like castellated cut, crown cut, root cut, whatever you want to call it.
But essentially what you're doing is just deep V'ing, like you said, perpendicular to it, and hopefully you're getting enough bite into it so you can get a more even draw.
Right.
Some people like doing it just a showboat. Others do it because the cigar is just not puffing well.
90% of my time when I do it, it's because the cigar's not. I shouldn't say 90%. 100% of the time when I do that, it's because the cigar's not puffing well. Normally, I've tried the draw tool a couple times, can't get it to work, so I try crown cut. That's what I call it. I try the crown cut, see if that works. If that doesn't work, then I try the draw tool again, and I still can't get it to draw, then it's just a tight drawing cigar to me. Because I'm not about to try to lop everything off and try all over again. There's enough airflow there between two deep V cuts. I shouldn't have a fucking problem. It's almost a straight cut at that point.
Yeah, you're just leaving, like, I don't know, peaks and valleys. Yeah. I guess more of a mouthfeel. It would change the airflow as it enters the palate, but I mean, you're gonna pretty much taste the cigar. Hopefully, you're going to taste the cigar the same, no matter how you really cut it.
Right, right. And you know, speaking of tasting the cigar, how was your first third?
My first third, I'm drinking a grape flavor, right? Grape flavor. Just want to point that I'm drinking a fruity flavor. So I'm not sure if that's going to interfere with the taste, because I'm definitely getting like hints of dried fruit, more on the raisiny side.
Okay.
Mixed with some earth.
So I'm getting black cherry. Maybe a little bit of raisiny sweetness with some earth in there.
Did we say we were smoking a Platinum series?
Yeah. You said it at the beginning.
I knew I said Monte Cristo. I don't remember saying Platinum or not.
Well, if we didn't, hey, we're smoking a Platinum.
Well, that leads to a lot of, because when I was talking about this to someone, they was like, so what's the difference between a Platinum cigar and a regular Monte Cristo? Hey, it's a series. It's a Platinum series.
What's the difference between an Undercrown Maduro and an Undercrown Shade?
Yeah. Well, that's two different shades.
Platinum, weird.
Is a whole, yeah. So the Platinum is going to be a little more bolder, maybe richer than the original series. They bumped it up.
What's the difference between that and the White Series?
The White Series is going to be more mellow on the palate.
Oh.
Don't stop it. What are the tobaccos in here?
The tobaccos. So for the wrapper, we have a Mexican Cubano wrapper. For the filler, we got Dominican, Nicaraguan, and Peruvian tobacco fillers.
The Peruvian. Peruvian.
Peruvian.
I can't recall any cigars that just outright Peruvian.
Not very many. It's a Zimbabwe.
That's what makes it Platinum. I like Zimbabwe. That's
the Zimbabwe tobacco.
Yeah.
I'm drawn to like a cigar that has it. Yeah, Guardrail. Thank you. I was like, there's a cigar. We talked about it. I fucking can't even remember right now. Zimbabwe tobacco, right? It's rarer tobacco, so it's not something that gets used all the time. Peruvian tobacco? Who the fuck uses Peruvian tobacco? Obviously, Monte Cristo does, but
Platinum series.
Hey, but you know, it's not one of those ones that's like Nicaraguan, Dominican Republic, Honduran, you know, Ecuadorian,
yeah,
San Andreas. It's not like the typical wrappers or fillers that you would see. It's Peruvian. All right, well, that's interesting. Hey, I got some Zimbabwe back. Oh shit, really?
If we was playing like Family Feud, the top five answers on the board, I'm pretty confident Peruvian wouldn't be up there. Peruvian or Zimbabwe. Yeah, neither one of those would probably be up there.
No. It would be Cuban, Mexican, Ecuadorian, Honduran, and Dominican Republic.
Right. Where there's others like Jamaica.
And maybe, did I say Nicaraguan? Nicaraguan might beat out Mexican.
Yeah. And at the top one, ding! Survey says, get fucked.
Survey says, fuck. It's a tobacco! I don't know, Russian?
I'm pretty sure China's trying to make their own tobacco, because I know they've been buying up a whole bunch of shit.
They are trying to make their own tobacco.
I don't know. I seen in one of the magazines or whatever, the Great Wall. Is it tobacco?
Yeah.
Is a cigar? I would try it. I don't think it'd be very good.
Yeah. Chinese is not known for its quality.
It's a bootleg Cuban.
I give you $5 for $3. Good deal.
Glass top.
Anyways. Yeah. All right. We're getting off topic. All right. So their last cut.
Behave.
Our last cut is the punch or bullet cut.
Ooh, you know why they call it bullet cut? Oh, please tell me you know why they call it bullet cut.
Because it was the casing of a bullet that you could use to cut a punch.
Look at that. Look at the brains on Austin.
It's like I know things and I share them with the world.
I smoke cigars and know things.
Yeah. It's what I do. I smoke cigars and I know things.
Yeah.
And also drink heavily.
I've not been scout.
Scotch
whiskey. Yeah, I can't remember the war era, but of course during war, they want to smoke a cigar. They don't have a cutter. Next best thing, take one of those empty casings,
beep, beep.
Use it, pop a little hole out the tip, and bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah.
And
you know what?
I want to do that.
Well, I don't know that I would use a spent casing.
Well, I'm gangster, sir. I'm drinking
grape
happy,
soda?
Happy Dad Death Row Limited Edition Hard Seltzer. Hard Seltzer. Great.
I'm looking at the cup that you poured that into, and it's looking mighty pink, sir.
It's great.
Damn.
All right.
Is it a nice rosé?
Pop rose. No, stop it.
Anywho, bullet or punch.
Yes.
Or bullet punch. You know what I like about the bullet punch? Here's what I like about it.
All right.
And this is my thing. And you prove this because you live it on a daily basis. You can easily keep a bullet punch on your key ring.
Facts.
And it could go anywhere in the world. Because nobody's going to look at it. Everyone's just going to think it's a nice little key ring doodad. And you can easily unscrew it or pop it or whatever. And then cut your cigar and boom. It's so easily, so it doesn't have to be huge. It's not one of these like deep V cuts or guillotine cuts or straight cuts or anything like that. That actually takes like a mechanism with springs and a latch and blah, blah, blah. It literally could just be as simple as, let me unscrew this from my keychain, put it into the end of my cigar, twist. Pop out. Oh, look, I got a cut cigar. Boom, I'm ready to rock and roll.
Yes. I've been asked what the hell that was by quite a few people. They think it holds like a medicine, a pill, or Westo nitro pills and stuff like that.
But, that's my nitroglycerin.
Yeah, so I open it up and happily show that's a cigar punch. Like, wow, why do you have that? I fucking smoke cigars. If I ever am gifted a cigar on my travels and be like, ah. I got my keys right here.
So I'll tell you a story.
All right.
Story time.
Yay, story time.
So I went to Oklahoma, and I was at a festival. It was called Scott Fest. It was a Scottish festival of Oklahoma. Apparently, there's a lot of fucking Scottish people in Oklahoma, I guess.
I guess so.
Sure, right?
Yeah. We'll take it.
Okay. There, at this festival... was a booth. And this booth was a local tobacco company that was rolling their own cigars there at the festival. And of course, me being me, like a moth drawn to the flame, I walk up and start chatting with the lovely individuals behind the booth. And, you know, we're talking about what they got, what they make, you know, who they are, their story, all this sort of stuff. Because I'm, you know, I got cigar podcast. I'm interested. I want to know. Maybe it's a good story. Blah, 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 blah. They, you know, they talk to me quite a bit, and they go, man, you are very knowledgeable about cigars. I was like, well, thank you. I do try to be knowledgeable about a subject that I routinely talk about. At this point, they did have no idea that I had a podcast. I didn't tell. I don't open with that ever. unless I'm at TPE or PTA, right? I don't open if I'm just out talking to somebody. I don't open with, like, I have a cigar podcast. It's not me. So I'm just sitting there talking, and I was like, yeah, I routinely talk about cigars, so I like to be knowledgeable. And they're like, oh, okay, that's cool. And they go, would you like to try one? I said, you know what? Sure. And they go, oh, I'm sure you need a cutter and lighter. And I said, please. And I pull out my pocket, and I pull out a punch and a lighter that I just so happened to bring with me. Light, and I go, you are a true cigar smoker, sir. I said, you're damn right. I was like, don't. me? Cutter? Lighter? The only time I need a lighter is if I've been on a plane. Because they don't let you bring jet lighters on a plane. Just FYI.
No TSA jet lighters lights on the jet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do know that your fancy lighter that you you have,
yes,
has a punch on the back.
It does. It actually has two punches on the back, good sir.
Yes.
Yeah. One a bigger ring gauge than the other, but they're very shallow.
Yeah.
They are very shallow ring gauges for punches, which I don't know how I feel or if I like that very much. Now, granted, in a pinch, could I use this and would this do? 110%. If this is all I had, I'm good. Got it. But that's 99% not all I have 99% of the time, because I normally travel with my cutter that has a straight cut and a V cut. So between these three, or these two items, I have a straight cut, V cut, and a punch. And a lighter.
And you're all set.
And I'm set.
You know what I want, and I've been hinting, because Father's Day is what?
Right around the corner.
June. I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, but they have the bracelets that has the punch the bracelet connects. I wouldn't mind one of those bad boys.
I would happily take one of those.
I've seen them from like $60 up, about $120, somewhere around there.
Maybe I can convince the wife. Like, look, baby, it looks so stylish. Look at me. I'm so cool.
Cool and you. Okay. So, I prefer... have you tried the punch on your lighter yet? I have. That's why I'm asking if you have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've tried it one time. And it worked okay. Yeah. It's just shallow.
I think it's a little too shallow, especially considering the one that I have on my key ring is actually pretty stout or profound, should I say.
Right.
Whereas this one really just digs into the cap.
It's not enough to get like through the cap maybe, and you're good to go.
Yeah, but as I used the bullet punch to cut the cigar before the show, it only removed the top layer of the cap, which gave me absolutely no draw because the tobacco underneath wasn't also penetrated.
I feel like you'd almost have to like punch it twice. Throw that cap away, punch it again, and get through the cap since it's a stouter cap. Yeah,
because this is definitely is definitely a bigger and thicker cap than I'm used to. Monte Cristo Platinum did a pretty good job because
it's a solid
V-cut,
cap.
My V-cut didn't even break the plane of the cap.
Yeah, no, this straight cut, I mean, it worked out well. Like, it's a stout cap. I'll give him credit.
So So another bullet cut that I've seen, a lot of them have that like a little twist to where it kind of screws in a little bit and then you unscrew it back out, and it has the spring mechanism to get rid of the discard the cap.
Oh yeah, those are fancy. Those are a fancy bullet cut.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to pay fancy for that.
But you'll pay for a bracelet?
I'll pay for it because it's stylish. Like you said, you look cool.
You? Cool? All right. Well.
Fuck you. How about that? All right. I would love to talk about the second third.
I'm all about it. Let's go.
You sure?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Let's go after the break.
Let's do it.
After the break. Yours is burning pretty shitty.
Facts. I'll talk about it after the break.
Okay. I'm curious to what cigars my favorite podcast will be smoking for the next episode.
Well, if you're that curious, just go to Leadership of the Leaf's Instagram page, at Leadership of the Leaf, all one word. They post pictures of which cigar they're smoking before the next episode.
That's great. Not only will I know what cigar they're smoking, I can see a picture of it to ensure I get the exact same one.
Yeah, I usually leave a comment to let them know if I agree with their thoughts about a cigar or not.
Next time, I'm going to leave a comment on their Instagram page. It'd be like I'm part of their podcast or something.
Hey, it's Michelle from Cigars with M on the Leadership of the Leaf podcast with Dice and Austin.
All right. Hey, welcome back, everyone. After that short break, like I said, we're going to talk about our second third of our cigars. And right before the break, I noticed Austin's cigar was burning a little wonky. You wanna share what's going on there? What the?
Yeah, so it's not canoeing. It's not torpedo. Basically, I've got like a nice wedge shape on one end of my cigar. It's a nice little poker stick on one end of my cigar. It's burning very unevenly. The burn line, though, is actually not terrible. It's just burning unevenly. Now, I relit it because maybe I fucked up, or maybe the wind kind of blew it or something like that. So I relit it, and it does seem to be kind of fixing itself. So we're going to keep going with it and see how it corrects.
All right. What flavors are you getting? Then I'll talk about mine.
Wait.
Monte Cristo. That's an Altadis.
Yeah. There's a new flavor coming in. So I'm still getting the black cherry and the raisiny sweetness, but I'm starting to get like a white peppery taste on the back end.
I can get that. I definitely still got the fruity. I would say raisin, black cherry. I would go more black cherry than raisin. I wouldn't say hickory. I would say hickory over the pepper, because I'm not getting like that pepper feel on my palate. I don't know if my drink is like cutting it or killing it, but mine is really more of a smoky.
Great.
My gangster drink over here. What?
I'm gangster, guys. I'm drinking a grape flavored soda.
I'm a happy dad.
Yeah. I'm going to let you continue before you embarrass yourself further.
So my cigar is actually burning very even. My mascara line, burn line, whatever line we want to call it, is actually not horrible. It's not the greatest I've seen, but it's not horrible. My ash is nice and gray. It's looking like
I'm white.
Yeah, getting some dime stacking going there. I mean, it's not that big yet, but I can definitely see it. Mine is burning pretty good. I'm not sure what happened to yours.
This proves right here. This is why you buy two cigars. You get one good one and one that may burn a little wonky. That honestly, my cigar ash has been is darker than yours.
Really?
Yeah. At least on the video.
Yeah, I think so. Because mine is like white.
Mm-hmm.
And yours is definitely... Yeah, yours is more of a darker gray.
Right. So that tells you. And these were cigars that we bought off of the website that were shipped to us. Right? So they could have come from two different boxes. We have no idea. But mine's burning wonky. And the tobacco may not have been as worked as well as Dyson's. Whereas Dyson's burning flawlessly. And his tobacco has worked very well because he's getting a nice white ash. This is why you end up buying two cigars. Because if you don't buy two cigars, you may get the one that burned wonky. And you go, this is a shit cigar. Fuck this. Bah. And you throw it away, never to be picked up again. And you're missing out on the greatness that could be Dyson Cigar. That could be the very next one. Who knows? These are handmade products. They have flaws in them. It is what it is. Although, that being said, your band slid right the hell off.
Oh, yeah.
Before you even lit the cigar.
Yeah, just holding it in my hand, the band kind of, I was like, well, I'm going to go ahead and remove that now.
My bands are tight. They're tight on there. I couldn't slide these off without fear of damaging the cigar right now.
Oh. Yeah, because I played with mine a little bit before I pulled the bands off because I didn't want to damage the cigar. But clearly it wasn't. It was good to go. It was ready to go.
Right. So that's my point. These are handmade cigars. They may or may not have problems with them. More times than not, they're not going to have problems. So just, you know, buy two. All right. Leadership topic. We talked about cigar cutters. Let's get into some leadership topics.
What are we talking about here?
What? You know, Dice? I really hate the way you micromanage me. So I felt as though we could talk about signs that you could be a micromanager.
Well, sir, I would love to go over these signs because maybe I just don't know that I'm micromanaging. I don't know the signs. I don't know them.
Well, let's dive in so you can find out that you're a micromanager, because I'm telling you that you're a micromanager.
Well, there are quite a few signs. But here's some of the heavy hitters, the aha, I am a fucking micromanager.
The more prolific signs.
What was that first word you said?
Prolific?
What are you, educated or some shit?
I try to be. Anyway, first sign, not seeing the woods for the trees. Micromanagers have a tendency to become bogged down in the minutiae, the mundane of individual project strands, losing the ability to see the bigger picture, right? This is, I can't see the forest because of the trees. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean there's a bigger picture?
Yeah, nah, I'm not concerned about that right now. What I want right now is you to do this. But why?
I got a question. Why are there not fucking commas on all of these 10,000 fucking bills right here? Why is there not a comma on that Excel sheet? Sir, does that really matter? You know it's 10,000. I want a fucking comma there. So, all right. I mean, if you want a comma there, I'll put a fucking comma there. I could to click of a button, but I feel like that's not the point that says, our company's losing fucking millions of dollars because you're worried about the fucking commas.
Where does the paperwork go? The paperwork goes on the front. Well, we can put it on the back also. No, it has to go on the front. Like, dude, you're missing the bigger picture. The bigger picture is the paperwork is attached to the widget to go. But
do we have the paperwork?
Yeah. Yes. Is the paperwork correct?
Yes. Is the paperwork filled out correct? Oh, yes. No, it's not. But it was on the front, goddammit.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Okay. Well, we could all clearly see that it's on the front and not filled out correctly. by you.
I noticed when we was talking about this actual subject, the first line here is not seeing the wood because of the trees, for the trees, and not seeing the trees because of the forest. Because as a leader, at some point, they actually, a micromanager can see the forest. They know what's going on. They can see the forest, but they're focused so much in on one single solitary tree that they're missing the wood, which makes the tree. So they're missing the point fucking completely. They think they have an idea because they are in the forest. They can see the forest. They think they have a fucking clue, but they don't, because they're focused on the wrong aspect of just looking for the wood when they're staring at the tree all the time.
We've been under micromanagers. I think almost everybody's been under micromanager. If you haven't been under a micromanager, I got some bad news for you. You are the micromanager. Just say it. I literally got a phone call about this like this week. And he goes, I said, hey man, I need you to get this task done. I sent you this tasker. I would like for you to get it done. He's like, yes, sir. I'll get it done. My boss is riding me because he's wanting this. He wants to make sure I'm busy all the time. So he's giving me a lot of like minor taskers, etc. I was like, I'm his fucking boss. I told you I need this done. You get my tasker done first. And if I have to come down to tell him to back the fuck off, I will. He's like, I don't need him in trouble or anything. I'm just letting you know that's why I haven't got it done. All right, let me reprioritize you then. My tasker goes above his tasker. You get my shit done first, and if he has a fucking problem with it, he can call me, and I'll let him know what the deal is. I just said, yes, sir, I'll get the tasker done. All right, thank you. That's what I needed in the first place. I sent this to you with 2 weeks of lead time. We are a day away from my due date, and you haven't fucking gotten it done. I need my tasker done.
I have a feeling that person on the other end still continued and try to get everything done at one time.
Facts. And he still has yet to get it done.
We will circle back and follow up on that, sir. We need the task done.
Yeah, I'm this close to going down another level and going, I don't understand what the fucking issue is. I gave him a tasker. If he has too much on his plate, I will give the tasker to you, and you can go get it done.
Well, Austin, before you pick your cigar, I need to approve that.
No, get fucked.
Before you decide which headphones you want to use or whatever, I'm going to need you to call and verify that with me so I can approve it. Yeah, I need you to run all that by me first. Also need to approve how many puffs you're going to be taking. I need that approved by me also. If you could just every task that you're going to be doing from now on, I need to approve. Yeah. All right, I'll allow one question. I'll approve this question.
Sir, can I relight my cigar? It has gone out on me, and I would like to relight it. Do I have your approval to relight
the cigar? I'm glad you asked me, because you have to get every single task that you're doing approved by me.
Yeah, 100%.
Every task needs approval. For many micromanagers, the idea of giving their team members control is unthinkable. Like, they can't know. They often believe that they're the only one that's capable of effective decision making. Not decision making, but effective decision making. People find themselves having to request approval about everything, rapidly diminishing their employee self-confidence.
So this goes to a point of, you know, hey boss, and there's, you can always see when somebody's been under a micromanager, right? Like I've seen this with other employees. When I come on to either a new shift, or I come into a new position, or whatever the case is, and I get people question, hey sir, I'm thinking I should maybe do this. What do you think? I'm like, why are you asking? Go, do, execute. I gave you tasks. You get them done. I don't give a shit how you get them done, as long as they're done correctly, as long as they're done on time, and as long as I don't have to go back and triple check your work. Go, do, execute, bye.
Yeah, that's why we hired you.
but sir, do you think this spreadsheet is formatted? Bitch, is the spreadsheet there? Is the information there? Can I read it and understand it at a glance? Yes, sir. Then that's what the fuck I want. I don't give a shit how it's fucking formatted. If I got a problem with it, I'll let you know. Hey, in the future, I'd like it like this. But if all the information's there and I can read it and it's labeled and it's readable and legible, good job, bud. Well, but I didn't know if you like, you want it blue back, like, how do you want? Do you want like green, yellow, red? Like, how do you want it? Motherfucker, if you're asking me about colors on a spreadsheet, you're asking the wrong goddamn question. Go, do, execute. Send me the product. If it's legible, great. If I got questions, I'll come find you.
Well, I'm the type. I want a constant update of every single step that he is doing for that spreadsheet. What are you putting on the first line? Let me know what's on that first line. What's on the second line? Column, what are you doing in column A? Tell me what's going in column A.
Column A is the information that you fucking requested, first and foremost.
And then I want to make sure.
Is a go fuck yourself sign.
Oh, man. As a result of spending more time producing detailed updates that are not focusing on, you know, the right shit anyway. It's just willy-nilly.
Again, I've had this problem. I actually have this problem right now. And it's not... The person, I don't even know if he's a micromanager. He's just a nitwit. But he almost needs a micromanager. But he produces Excel sheets. And I'll sit there and look at the Excel sheet, and he's presenting it to me, and I still can't understand the Excel sheet. And then I'm like, by the time he gets done explaining, I go, hold on, this doesn't make sense. Why is column A that interacts with column E over here? Why are those two so far apart? What the fuck is C through D? Or B through D, and why are they in the middle? Like, why is this so fucking jumbled? And he's like, well, you know, I just thought that this might be, and I'm like, okay, I get your, okay. And he reads it. Now I got it, but I'm like, you need a micromanager to tell you exactly how to make this shit. I see that you were micromanaged, so you were never taught how to properly do an Excel sheet. And so now you have no idea how to properly do this without somebody telling you step by step how to do this. And this is a fucking problem because now your Excel sheets are fucking completely unlegible. Or you had somebody do it and they taught you wrong. And now I can't read your fucking Excel sheet. I can't read the slide. The presentation that you're presenting to me, I'm so fucking lost that I can't even fucking find my way out of a brown paper bag. Like, that's how lost you fucking made.
Well, it's probably one of those things where he had to do the constant updates to someone over and over and over, and he lost all confidence in himself.
That, yeah. And that's what I assume happened. I was just like, oh, this is bad. So I'm trying to like, hey, bud, I get it. I understand. But would it make more sense if this was over here and this did this and this flowed like this? Oh, yeah, I guess it would. All right, just, you know, thoughts for the future. Not changing it, not telling him it's bad. Thoughts for the future. And then the next one, he incorporated those changes, and I give him a little bit more feedback. So by the time now, he's like, oh, boom. And he sends out the Excel sheet. I'm like, this is fucking legible. I can understand this. And I send it to other people, and they're like, I can understand this now. I'm like, it's great, right? I didn't tell him how to do it. He did it on his own.
Often you have a problem delegating, sir. Clearly.
No, I don't. All right. So difficulty delegating is another sign of classic sign, I would say, of micromanagement. It causes two big problems, right? First, a micromanager's team members, they always wonder whether they're actually allowed to do the work for which they're originally employed to do, right? So, do you think it would be okay if I swept the floor? Like, would that be too far out of line if I swept the floor? Do you think he'd get mad if I use like green on the green font on this? Like if I track changes in blue, would he be upset with that? Like, who the fuck cares? Second, the micromanager becomes so overloaded with another person's work that they fail to do their own. So again, and I've asked this question before, if I have to do your work, what the fuck am I paying you for?
Yeah. Well, I've constantly heard what the micromanager I had at one point, I actually heard like, do I gotta fucking do everything?
Apparently so, if that's what you want it fucking done.
Apparently you don't like the way I did it, even though the results are good, great, passing, acceptable, fantastic. But if you don't like the way it was done, I'm pretty confident you're going to get the same results if you do it your way.
What I always hate is when I do it the micromanager's way, right? Like I do it my way. Micromanager comes over top and goes, no. This needs commas. This needs this color. This needs to be formatted differently. Blah, 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 blah. And then it goes to the next level. And the next level wants to change back to the original way that I did it. Why the fuck did I just... You know what? Version 1, send. Oh, this is great! This is, yep. Why didn't you send me that other shit?
You know, in that scenario, the micromanager that had you change or whatever, they, from my experience, that person has never came back and be like, you know what, Dice? Let's do it your way. Your way was right. Yeah. Your way was better. Your way.
You're 100% right.
Yeah. I've never
They're
had
like, yeah, a micromanager come back. Why didn't you do it that way the first time? Do you see where it says V1? And I sent you V1 like 3 weeks ago and you said it wasn't good enough? You remember that? You remember? You remember?
You know how to get me to go to a 0 to 100? I sent version 1, and then you make me send version 2, and then version 1 was better, and then you come back and try to berate me for sending version 2?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to... Yeah.
I'm gonna have a few fly off handle real quick? Yeah.
No one's like really heard Dice yell. Okay. That will get me yelling.
Yeah. Huh?
Okay, Austin has heard me yell.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I've heard it. I've been there.
But
in fairness, me and Dice know each other for like 15 years.
Has it been that long? Can I retire from you?
Fuck, let's do this. All right. Leadership beliefs over. Me and Dice are retired from each other.
What's another micromanaging sign that I guess I do?
Yeah, they need to be copied into every email. Everything you do, I need to have oversight over. I need to know that when you send an email to whoever, I need to be copied on that. Okay, it's literally, hey, I concur. But if you want to be CC'd in that, oh, well, fucking CC you, sure. So no, usually they...
I was going to say, I don't want to get that confused with need to know information as opposed to just all information. Now, there's some things that, of course, everyone needs to know in the grand scheme of things. Like, someone just came down and they took, I don't know, 30 spare widgets out of the back office.
Right.
That's probably something that needs to be, you know, up
to. That needs to be communicated up, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But this is, hey, I'm asking a question of, you know, hey, do we have 30 or 31 spare widgets? Could you get me a true number for my Excel sheet that I have to send up to my boss? No, I need to be CC'd on that. Why? I'm going to give you the information in the Excel sheet that I'm asking for clarification for.
Yeah, I'm fact-checking.
I'm fact-checking.
For you.
To give you the right information. Why do you need to be CC'd on that? Usually it's the visibility of every strand of communication at all times. Indicates a fear of being left out of the loop and an obsession that people are discussing details and making decisions that are outside of the micromanager's control. Which is, again, if... micromanaging, as far as I can tell, and we'll kind of get into this, it normally is stemmed from fear, right? It's a lack of control. It's a fear of lack of control, or a fear of these people are talking shit about me about behind my back, or I'm gonna get asked a question about something that my people did, and I'm gonna have no idea what the fuck I'm getting asked about because they didn't include me in every single email. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've done this. I have done this, right? I took a week of vacation time, just a week. Do you have any emails I came back to?
None?
Yeah, right.
Okay. One or two because they forgot you was on vacation.
I wish. I got CC'd in every fucking email. I had over 270 emails. And 9 of them, like 90% of them, now I'm not talking about the company-wide email, right? Where it's just like, today we're having, you know, fucking mashed potatoes and meatloaf in the cafeteria. Great. Those emails, I don't count. I'm talking 270 emails where people were CCing me on shit they were discussing with somebody else below my level. And I emailed them back. And I'm like, hey, this is all great information. This, and it took me 4 hours of my first day back just to go through, just to skim the email. Skim them. I didn't even read them. Skim them. And I started talking to my team, and I was like, hey, why am I getting CC'd on all these emails? Oh, well, you know, the boss, we don't want you to be left out. And, you know, the boss before you said that he needed to be CC'd and everything. Oh, that's fine. That's great. That's how he managed it. If you guys are talking below my level, I don't need to be aware of it. The minute you reach at my level or above, I would like to be CC'd in case I get asked about it. But if it's your level or below, fucking leave me the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Because I assume that if it goes up to there, to somebody else's level, and I get asked about it, you're going to do me the courtesy of, hey, by the way, boss, this came down the pipeline. I was talking with Jim over in manufacturing, and we decided that there was a much more efficient process, and he let his boss know, so I'm letting you know. Cool, man. Way to go.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me know. But if you're just talking about a potential thing, I don't fucking need to know that shit.
Yeah. Well, again, that puts the employee in that place. Like, I hired you to count. I don't know. I hired you to count the number of pencils in that box. I are they good? Cool. They're bad? Cool. Let me know if they're bad and if I need to up-channel information. But if everything is hunky-dory, I don't need information about, one pencil is short, one pencil is long. One is red, one is blue.
Fucking drawing straws here?
I don't give a fuck about that. I hired you to keep control of these pencils. Well, if they're in control and everything's good to go. Now, if you have to order 30 more pencils above my head, then okay, now I need to know.
Then let me know.
I'm going to get asked. Like, Austin, why the hell are they ordering 30 pencils? Well, this is this and this is that, and I've been following the email traffic or the verbal communication that's been going on. Other than that...
Done. Got it. You got it?
Good to
I'm
go.
I'm good.
Moving on with life.
Yeah. You got the information I need? So I can come ping you anytime I want? You got the information? Great. I'm good. I don't fucking need it. I don't need to know a daily update of fucking how many goddamn pencils we have. Sir, today we have 29. Next day we have 28. Susan took the pencil. I don't give a shit. Do we have enough pencils? Yes? Great. Do you know the number of pencils if I came and asked you, like, today? Yes? I'm good. Good job controlling pencils, bud.
You know, one thing I hate that micromanagers do, this is also on the list. One thing, they overcomplicate instructions. Oh, have you had someone do that to you before?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we need to do A, and then we're going to go to B, and then we're going to do C, wait 30 minutes, do D. What? Why are we waiting 30 minutes? I can go from A to D, like, right now. No. You got to do all these other steps in between. Why are you overcomplicating this? Are they going to stay tonight or are they going to stay a week? I easily ask. Hello, are you staying a day or are you staying a week? Are you staying a week? Cool. Click. That's it. I don't need to do anything else. I don't need to call their jobs. I don't need to call their significant others. I don't need to check their grandparents.
Did you pay for that week? Yes? Okay.
But, oh, guess what? They're staying a week. It's not. Why overcomplicate a system? Look at you.
I actually had this. You and me were working together when somebody gave me overcomplicated instructions. I'm sure you remember that.
Of course I do. And but I had no dog in that fight either.
100%. I know. I don't blame you.
I had closed door sessions to talk about it. No, I know you didn't blame me, but I had closed door sessions to talk about this, but they were adamant. So I was like, okay, we're going to drown.
So I got told there's a more efficient process to produce widgets than what you're doing right now, sir. And I said, oh, well, the more efficient, do tell. I'm all about efficiency. If this shift can go from point A to point C in their shift, then the next shift can pick up from point C and go to finished product in their shift. We'll make 50% more widgets. I don't disagree with you. However, what you're asking for would be under what I consider ideal conditions. And producing widgets, anybody knows production, is anything but an ideal circumstance. So I think it's more realistic to go from A to B, leave a day for C, and then go from D to finished product, and you'd probably be a lot more efficient. I get what you're going for, but I'm just saying you're not allowing for real world problems to creep in, so to speak. No. That you're not getting what I'm saying. No, I'm understanding what you're saying. I just don't think you understand what I'm saying.
We're gonna go back and forth. Oh my goodness.
You know what else that showed to me?
What's that?
It was the belief that no one else is capable of doing the job.
Right. And I've seen this in micromanagers throughout my career, right? Let's say the widget we're producing is a car. And I don't know how to produce a car. I'm just overseeing the overall production of this car. I know a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I'm not an expert.
Got it.
I'm not an expert in tires.
Yep.
The tire guy is telling me a certain thing that has to be done. And I'm like, no, we're going to do it this way. We're going to put the rim on the car first and then put the tire around the rim. Now,
that doesn't make sense.
You can't do that. Well, you're going to do it that way because that's the way I'm telling you to do it.
But that doesn't make sense.
But that's how we're going to do things. I don't care if it makes sense or not. That's how we're going to do things, and we're going to do it that way.
But why?
That's because I don't have the knowledge of the tires of how they actually go on the rim. I just know that the car has tires and rims on it. That's all I know, being that I'm overseeing it. So why wouldn't I rely on my tire expert to tell me how it's going to get done?
Because you believe that you're in a management position over lesser talented people, and because they only can be trusted to work as effectively as you lead them.
Ah, so I guess I am a micromanager, sir.
I told you.
I don't know. There's many times we've worked together before. There's many times where I'm like, I don't quite understand something. So I would actually come out and go through the whole process so I can have a better idea of it, instead of just coming out and spitting what little knowledge I do have, saying that, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
Am I? Am I doing it wrong? Am I? Show me.
Show me.
What's the show me state? Minnesota?
Missouri.
Missouri. I'm from Missouri. I'm from Missouri. The show me state.
Show me.
Beads. I'm going to throw beads at you.
I mean, you're not wrong. There's... I feel like most of the micromanagers I met, they come in with an air of overconfidence and a seemingly lack of process knowledge.
I would agree with that. I wouldn't say lack of education, because they're not stupid by all means.
No!
I don't want to call anyone stupid.
Right. No, I'm just saying lack of process knowledge. Like, hey, this is how we conduct this process. Here's why we conduct the process this way. And this is this, and I trust my people to make decisions because they are the experts that I hired to do the job to produce the widget. Most micromanagers will come in, usually overconfident, with a lack of process knowledge, and go, no. I've seen something similar to this and it doesn't work. It was in another industry, but it doesn't work. Hold on. Hold the fuck on. Did you just say it doesn't work in another industry? Yeah. I was producing widget A. You guys produce widget B, but it doesn't work that way. But widget A and widget B are completely fucking different. Oh. Yeah, I get that. But the process is the same. No. No. It's not.
You know, I think I know exactly who you're referring to right there. I'm not going to say their name.
Listen, it's not my first rodeo.
Either way, I mean, micromanaging, there's so many different ways to tell. Those are some of the main ones.
And everybody knows when you're being micromanaged, everybody can tell.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows that they're being micromanaged. Now, the flip side of that, when you are a manager, you need to take a hard look in the mirror and make sure that you are not a micromanager, because it's easy when you think all I'm doing is asking for accountability. All I'm doing is asking for stellar products 100% of the time. All I'm asking for is to be CC'd so I have the information in case somebody comes and asks me about it, right? You rationalize these things to yourself, and it's easy to go, no, I'm not a micromanager. I just like to be known that I'm here if they have any questions. Okay, the problem is that you're being asked how they should tie their fucking shoes and whether or not they should double knot it, and you think that you're not a micromanager. Get fucked, dude.
Well, I mean, it kind of leads to a previous episode. If you feel like you may be stepping into that realm of becoming a micromanager, take a step back and look at the situation like, I hired Austin to do this. I'm going to let Austin do this. If it's like completely wrong, then okay, step in and guide and teach and train and that whole thing. But if I take a step back and notice that Austin, that you're producing widget A with really no problems at all, then
right.
why would I need to step in?
With a 1% defect rate, then what the fuck is the problem?
I want to fix that 1%.
Got it. Human error, sir.
That's not allowed. I'm a micromanager. That's not allowed.
Cool. Then you can do my job for me. And I'm going to quit and we'll see how this works.
That is why people walk out. That is why, like, what's it called when everyone walks out at the same time?
Strike?
Slip my mind. Strike. That's why people strike.
Yeah. Well, that and other working conditions. Well, but
yeah, but I mean, if someone is micromanaging, just think like at the Ford plant, if everybody walked out.
Yeah. It's one of the, like I said, everybody can, and if you don't know if you're a micromanager, everyone can tell that they're being micromanaged, right? Like I've already said, if you don't know you're a micromanager, find you somebody, a peer, ask for candid feedback from your workers, and say, how do you guys feel about my management style? Is there anything I can do better for you guys?
I don't see a micromanager ever doing that.
No, I'm saying, if you feel like you're a micromanager and you candidly ask for feedback, and I've done it. I've been a shift lead, and I straight up asked all my people, hey guys, I have been accused of micromanaging, and I want to know, what is the consensus amongst my workers? How do you guys feel? I want candid feedback. Not asked for it right now in a group setting, but if you guys feel the need on a one-on-one basis, come find me. Come. Hey, Austin. Austin, I got a question. You asked if you're a micromanager, and this is how I feel you're a micromanager. Oh, all right. Cool. I can understand that. Let me tell you why I do that, and we can have a candid conversation, and I'll we could go from there. But this is why I do that, and tell me if you agree with it or disagree with it. And if you completely disagree with it, then great. Thanks for letting me know. I'll work on it. I will work on myself as a leader, as a manager, to not micromanage you. Because that's the furthest thing from the truth that I want.
Well, what I want you to fucking micromanage is the final third of this cigar.
So I'll be honest, my cigar has been, it's been going out a couple times.
Yeah, I noticed.
I don't know if I'm not puffing on it enough. I don't know if it's just getting down towards the end, and so it's just kind of dying on me. I don't know, but...
I'll recommend a deep V-cut if you ever smoke it again, which I'm pretty sure we will. I will recommend a deep V-cut. Matter of fact, that's what I'm going to put in my little cigar. Little deep V-cut.
So I'm getting a plum or a dried fruit type sweetness. I would say the dark cherries, black cherries kind of gone away. It's more of a cedar. It's like a fruity sweetness, dried fruit sweetness, like a cedar, and then like a white pepper.
You're still getting that white pepper, huh?
Yeah.
I can't even pretend to say there's white pepper in this, but I don't know. Again, my drink is, as you say, fruity. So I'm glad you said fruity, because I'm still getting that fruity flavor profile.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's not overpowering, but it's just, I feel it on my lips. You know what I mean? Yeah, that white pepper on your lips.
Yeah, the cedar for me is still more of a smoky hickory to me.
Okay.
I'm definitely still getting like the sweetness of a fruit flavor. I would venture forth and say prunish, maybe plum.
Yeah.
As you're relighting right now to get more of the flavor. But overall, there wasn't like a big transition in any of the thirds for me.
No.
But it is a Monte Cristo, so.
I see hickory on that.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm still getting white pepper on the back end.
Are you? Is it on your retro or just on the back end?
Just on the back end.
No pepper.
I just, like I said, I can taste it on my lips.
I wonder if it's coming from a blend of with your scotch and the smoke, because
that's maybe.
Yeah, maybe, because no hint of pepper at all for me, and no, I'm not a huge pepper fan, so that probably would have jumped out at me. So
right.
That leads now to the question, sir. Bacardi, five pack or single?
It's time to answer the question. Is a cigar box worthy? Five pack or just one or two?
For me, I'd like to try it again with a deep V cut, and maybe get a different cigar, maybe with a little bit more work tobacco. I would say right now it's a single or two.
For me as well. definitely not box worthy for me. For all the Monte Cristo fans out there, fanboys and stuff, I only smoke Monte Cristo. Good for you, homie.
Great.
I wouldn't say five pack. There wasn't enough in there for me to like, all right, you know, I'll pick one of these up in my humidor because I got five pack in there.
But yeah,
if I was getting a bundle and I had one in it, cool. I wouldn't even venture forth and say, hey, I would pick this up over other ones. I would definitely say one or two.
Right. Yeah. That's my thing. Like if I had a humidor, right. And I'm looking at my the humidor and there's, you know, Leaf by Oscar, there's Jewish Day, there's some Alex Bradley, there's some fucking Deadwood Tobacco, Camachos and Arturo Fuentes and fucking Perdomos. And I'm just naming big names, right? These are all relatively big names. And there's Monte Cristos and these were in there. I would skip right over this. 100% of the time. I would go, all right, Leaf by Oscar. Oh, I'm feeling a little bit of Magic Toast by Alex Bradley. Oh, I'm feeling a Camacho Corojo. Oh, I'm feeling a Perdomo Champagne. Cool. I don't know that I would pick this up in the humidor and pay money for it over other cigars in the giant humidor. Now, if this was, I had this or Swisher Sweets, yeah, I'll pick this up. If I had this versus like Gurkhas, sure, I'll pick this up, but it did not wow me.
Yeah, I would venture forth and say that I would probably pick up something I have not smoked before just to try that out over picking this one up.
I probably would agree with you.
But saying that, again, saying all of that is not a bad cigar. I don't want
people
thinking it's a bad cigar.
It's not a bad cigar. It's just on our flavor profile.
It's just not in my wheelhouse at all. Oh,
agreed.
Speaking of flavor profile, before we end. So the Cuba, remember you had a few and I was like, I'll give these to whoever, right?
Yeah.
So I gave them out to a few people. So one person, you remember Tim?
Yeah.
Tim, who is now burgeoning as a cigar guy, he said the Cuba was too sweet. It was too syrupy. Appreciate it, but no thank you.
I'm so glad he fucking grew.
I was like, wow, okay. That's good to hear. Now I gave to another guy. You probably remember I mentioned him before where he didn't know the cut the cigar.
Yeah.
That guy. He loved it. Best cigar he ever had.
I'm so happy for him.
Just the flavor profiles, that's what I'm pointing out. Flavor profiles is different for every person.
100%. And everybody has a different taste, right? Like, it's like ice cream. Not everybody's going to like chocolate ice cream. Not everyone likes vanilla ice cream. Not everyone likes strawberry and fucking chocolate chip cookie dough or what mint chocolate chip or whatever. What all these different flavors, right? It's different for every single person. Some people are like, I love Neapolitan and that's what I fucking like. Great. High five for you, man. I don't like Neapolitan as much as the next person because I don't like when my chocolate and strawberry touch. Don't like it. Not my cup of tea. Now, if you give me strawberry ice cream and you give me chocolate ice cream, fucking great. I will happily take all of that. I'll take straight vanilla. I don't give a shit, but if you blend it all together, I'm like, okay. I'll take it over fucking pistachio.
I'm black, sir, so my ice cream of choice is butter pecan. And if you don't know the reference to that, you might want to do some Googles.
Hey, I'm not I don't hate on butter pecan. Not at all. But I'm just saying, every flavor profile is different for every single person. So, you know, you and me were sitting there smoking. We were walking through TPE, and I think you were smoking tobacco. And I was smoking it was a Deadwood. Fat Bottom Betty,
yeah.
And we were like, yeah, this is great, but yeah, we don't mind those. And that same pack was a fucking Cuba, acid Cuba. Neither one of us fucking picked that cigar up to smoke. We both enjoy, like, the tobaccos aren't bad. Deadwood tobacco, fucking, they're not bad for a Sunday morning with my coffee cigar. Let me start the day out.
Yeah.
They have a time and a place. Asking Cuba Cuba for us does not really earn a place on our humidor.
Correct. Correct the mundo.
So, anyway. Until next time, I'm Austin.
And I'm gonna stay dice.
And remember, great leaders smoke great cigars.
See you on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to Leadership of the Leaf. The comments and opinions expressed by the host and guests does not reflect the opinions of those that broadcast this show, nor does it reflect any of our affiliates.